Freud died in September 1939. He was suffering from a painful cancer of the mouth, and his life ended with what we would call today an assisted suicide. It was just weeks after World War II started. That November, the poet W.H. Auden wrote an elegy for Freud that was deeply colored by the war.
When there are so many, we shall have to mourn. When grief has been made so public and exposed to the critique of a whole epoch, the frailty of our conscience and anguish, of whom shall we speak? For every day they die among us, those who were doing us some good, who knew it was never enough, but hoped to improve a little by living. Such was this doctor.
50 years later, Auden's poem fell into the hands of a painter named Spencer Finch. Finch loved Auden's work, and he carried the elegy for Freud around with him everywhere he went. He explained to Curtis Fox how this poem finally led him to the couch in Freud's study.
So when I was in therapy, when we talked about what my goals were and what I was interested in getting out of therapy, I brought this poem in, which she wasn't familiar with, which I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe any sort of Freudian didn't know this poem. And really what I said on a sort of general level, what I was interested in was what Auden said, which is the goal was to be able to approach the future as a friend
without a wardrobe of excuses, without a set mask of rectitude or an embarrassing, over-familiar gesture.
I still have a wardrobe of excuses, but it's a slightly smaller wardrobe now.
Spencer Finch is known for paintings and installations that try to capture the particular qualities of the light in specific locations, like the color of dawn at Troy, or what the Grand Canyon looked like at various times of day when he had his eyes closed. Auden's poem got him to thinking about what the Wolfman and Dora and what any of Freud's patients looked at when they spent hour after hour with Freud in his office.
So I decided I would go to Vienna and Freud house. What I did was I worked in Freud's examination room where the couch was, although the couch had moved around. The room was totally empty, like a doctor's examination room. But of course, when you see the photographs, he had all this stuff around. I mean, he had so much chotch. It was unbelievable. So the only place where there wasn't anything was on the ceiling. It was the only blank spot in the whole room.
So the empty ceiling in Sigmund Freud's Vienna office, the same part of the ceiling that Freud's patients stared at while lying on his famous couch, this became the subject of his piece. Getting to work, he positioned himself so that his head was at the same height as the heads being examined by Dr. Freud.
And I looked at the ceiling, it was a white ceiling, and did pastel drawings based on the color of the light of the ceiling at different times of the day. So I started at 8 in the morning and went till, I think, around 7 at night. So there are about 12 of these drawings that were about 3 feet across and in the shape of an oval. The oval refers to the view of the person being analyzed, the analyst's hand. And that was it. They were just these sort of gray ovals with some ochre in some of them, some sienna in darker ones, and they're a little lighter on the right edge because that's closer to the window and darker on the left edge. And the ones in the middle of the day are lighter and brighter, and the ones towards the beginning and end of the day are darker.
Finch did one drawing an hour, beginning a new one at the top of each hour, sort of like a therapist starting a session with a fresh patient. Between drawings, he got to know the employees of the Freud house as they took turns babysitting him.
I was very interested in the sort of psychology of working at the Freud Museum. Really sort of gave me the whole story on how everyone was just really angry with everyone and how the director was really mean and how she was in Freudian analysis. And, well, it's not helping her much. She really should be getting more intensive therapy. So I was like opening this whole can of worms. But it sounds like it was like, you know, any other office, but probably worse in some way.
In his elegy, Auden celebrates Freud's exploration of the richness, the deep personal weirdness of every human mind. Writing at the end of the 1930s, Auden viewed Freud as politically very significant. He thought that Freudian ideas were already acting as a bulwark against the rise of totalitarianism, which wanted to wipe out traces of individuality in the service of the state. In the poem, he called it the generalized life.
No wonder the ancient cultures of conceit, in his technique of unsettlement, foresaw the fall of princes, the collapse of their lucrative patterns of frustration. If he succeeded, why, the generalized life would become impossible. The monolith of state be broken and prevented the cooperation of avengers.
So this idea of the generalized life, that everything should be understood, everything should be the same, the light should be the same in the morning, noon, and night, everyone should be the same and everyone should follow these rules, and there's a right and there is a wrong. And there is a specific photographic representation that is the truth, and that there is one way that is the only way. And I think he was opposed to that.
Finch eventually took his pastel drawings back home, and then he created four frescoes of Sigmund Freud's ceiling. It's hard to tell the differences in light between them because they're now in different places. One he still owns. One is hanging over the couch in the apartment of some friends. One is in a collection in Connecticut. And one belongs to a collector in New York who is in intensive psychotherapy. But Finch is by no means done with Freud, who remains one of his touchstones, artistically and spiritually.
There's still something incredibly liberating about Freudian psychology, as I understand it, which is to sort of embrace the richness of life and not freak out about it. I mean, I don't think he literally said that anywhere, but that's sort of what I take from it.
For Studio 360, I'm Curtis Fox.
You can find out more about Spencer Finch and the Freud House at studio360.org. I'm Kurt Anderson. My guest today is Jonathan Lear, the psychoanalyst and author. Jonathan, I assume you've been to the Freud House?
I have.
What's it like?
Well, the line that that Spencer Finch used that seemed to really resonate with me was when he said, you know, there's so much chotch around, unbelievable. Freud loved archaeology, and he part of his theory of the mind was that it was digging, like it was like an archaeological excavation.
Uh-huh.
So he had tons of little, you know, ancient statues from all over, you know, the ancient world that they were around in a collection. And I must say, when I saw them, it really put me off. I thought, you know, one can argue about technique, but I thought it was bad technique to have so much, as Spencer Finch said, chotch around. It was
really? So the patients would see all this stuff and it would interrupt their train of thought?
I think it was unconsciously, I think it was too directive. I don't like therapists' offices when they're full of, you know, ancient ruins of some sort or other. I think it suggests too much to the patient, an image of what they're there to do. And, you know, I don't think there should be that kind of suggestiveness. That's why I love the idea of just sort of looking up at the ceiling, which is a sort of blank space that Mr. Finch put different sort of colors and ovals on. I think it's quite a lovely thing to do. I'd actually would have been interested to hear from him just the answer to the question you asked me about his sense of his creativity and his psychotherapy or analysis. It sounds to me like this is a man who's going great guns.
Absolutely. So I have a question about advertising. Since the earliest days of modern advertising a century ago, people who make ads have often talked about using Freudian ideas and the Freudian codes to tap into our desires and help them sell us stuff. Do you think that's true at all?
Well, there's a grain of truth in it, and I might as well talk about the grain, which is when Freud wrote The Interpretation of Dreams, in the first edition, there was no discussion about what a cigar meant. But then I've forgotten the date offhand, but I think it was around 1912, a man named Stekel wrote a book about symbolism, and Freud got very excited about this book, and he wanted to write what was basically a long footnote. But his insertion of this piece was so long that it just, instead of getting put at the end or as a footnote, it got put as a separate section of the book. And that's the part of the book that basically popular culture remembers. And there he was trying to come up with a fixed code. And, you know, the grain of truth in it is that, I mean, it is true that our earliest experiences are going to be of, you know, being held, being taking in food from the mouth, excreting it in different ways, and that these are sort of shared experiences, and one ought to expect that although there will be variations, there's also going to be certain commonalities. And so, you know, that I think is what got taken up.
And when I, as I was yesterday riding on the subway and seeing an ad for Budweiser and seeing an attractive young man nuzzling close in the advertisement to an attractive young woman as she embraced a giant bottle of Budweiser, should I attribute that image to Freudian ideas?
I'm just tempted to ask you what you thought when you saw it. You know,
oh,
you're asking me
that.
Or that. Well, you're asking me what you should have done. I mean, I'm not sure what you should have
done. I wanted a bear. I mean, the cartoonishness of this giant phallic thing that this woman about to give in to the man's desires was grasping seemed – I wasn't sure if it was self-consciously Freudian or making a joke about it, or I wasn't supposed to notice that she had her arms around this cold, wet cylinder or what.
Yeah,
but,
no, I mean,
but it seemed to me, as I was thinking about talking to you and about Freud, Freud, relevant somehow.
Yeah, I mean, what I associate to is the word kitsch. I mean, it does sound like a kind of sentimental, you know, if only things were that simple.
Yeah. I think our 50 minutes are up, I guess I have to say. And thank you very much for joining me today.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you.
Jonathan Lear is a professor of philosophy at the University of Chicago and a practicing psychoanalyst. His latest book is called simply Freud. You can find out more about him and all the stories you heard today at studio360.org.
There is a house of cards where castles stood. Now
coming up, the Broadway star and amazing chameleon, Sarah Jones.
I guess I have the honor of being maybe the epidermis character or something. I don't know. That doesn't make me sound very glamorous, but if you see me, you'll know I'm very well kept up.
That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.